And so it's always, you know, as I said, there are so many things we have already covered that it's amazing. I don't think there is any topic about weight per se. And many of the peripheral problem we have talked about. But it's always interesting to review some of the potential snag that people fall into, you know. And there are things that people kind of pitfalls, you know. What kind of pitfall do people fall into when they are on the weight loss or after? And actually, there is really three major stages. There is a weight loss, there is a stabilization, and there is a maintenance. And all those are prone to pitfall. So during the weight loss, the pitfalls usually have to do with people who, for one reason or another, break the diet and do not do it from a place of clarity. It's perfectly fine to take a day off from the diet, but you have to set it up in your consciousness as a deliberate, chosen action. Okay? And I've covered that in many of the topics. You know, I basically, a lot of it, the analogy I usually give to people is like, look at the weight loss as you, a train or a train engineer, on the program is the track, and you're just following the track, and as long as you follow the track, you basically get to the goal. But because you are the engineer of the train and you have the right to stop the train and go for a picnic, okay? And as long as you don't take too many picnics and you stay on the track, pretty much all you will do is delay a little bit the process. So I tell people, see, don't drive yourself crazy, but be aware that the idea is to maintain the program as it is. If you modify it, you have to really be aware of the logic of the program on what you are doing to the logic of the program. So you have to be aware that there are four primary components to the program: low fat, low starch, low sugar, low calories. So anything you do that seriously alter one of those four components, and that you do it on a regular basis, will pretty much derail your process. If, on the other hand, you know, you stay within those four components and you say, well, you know, I was fed up with the strawberry and I looked for another fruit which was, you know, in the same caloric category, and that's also low in starch and low in things like that, is it okay? And many people who have experimented say yes, in the same way as there are people who have experimented with different meat. There are people who have experimented with tofu. There are people who have experimented even in doing a quinoa instead of a protein, because quinoa processes in the body as a protein. And many of those people have absolutely no problem. So there are ways of modifying the program, but you have to be totally congruent with the logic of the program. And if you are not going to do that from a very, very scientific point of view, and you are just doing exception every once in a while, make them very short. So don't take a day's exception. Say, you know, we're having a family celebration and I just want to be able to participate, you know, with moderation to the celebration without being crazy. So then at that time, the idea is simply to put the whole situation in the bubble in your imagination, you know. Go on, participate in the way you are planning on participating. When you're finished with the situation, break the bubble and come back on track. So see yourself going back into the train and going back towards your destination. So that visualize, you really separate that frame. So you're conscious that you are on a track. You step out of it. You create a bubble, which is an exception. You do that deliberately. You see, if you can even tell yourself in advance what you will allow or what you want, it's even better because it makes it even more conscious. And the idea here is one of the big aspects of the program is using it to increase our awareness of what we do. And obviously, when you make a deliberate choice, you are in an awareness mode. And what creates our weight pattern is usually unconscious eating. So those situations that we have associated with food, or where we use food as a drug, okay, to numb our decision making on our awareness of how our behavior is lining up with our purpose. So that's what a common pitfall of the program. There are some which are more constitutional, you know, so there are some people who need to be supported in their thyroid, and it doesn't show up at the beginning, but it shows up when they are on the diet. There are some people who are usually put nowadays, I didn't used to, but nowadays, with very few exceptions, there are people who don't want to. I put all my clients on the prime formula when they start the weight loss. And so I know that they have enough minerals, vitamin, and essential fatty acid, okay? And that they have actual support for the adrenal and for all the body function. But there are people who still need, for one reason or another, a little bit more essential fatty acid or a little bit more absorption, you know, of essential fatty acids. So we can see what's happening, and those are kind of individual problem. Okay, there are some other problems which are more complex, but basically those are the ones that show up, and especially at the beginning, sometimes if people were hypoglycemic before they started having insulin resistance, sometime when you kind of blocked, you know, you put them back on a diet which has no sugar at all, they may kick back into hypoglycemia. And so then we kind of have to modify the program a little bit to manage that. It usually happened only in the first week or the first 2 or 3 days.
What did it look like?
It usually, you know, what happened is that they are on the program and they start getting really weak and dizzy, you know, and, you know, palpitation and things like that.
Okay.
You know, and usually it's a little bit of hypoglycemia. What you do is that you take a tiny little bit of juice, you know, just like about an ounce, maybe two, just enough to stabilize the sugar metabolism. And then if it recurs too much, then we start people just the way we do with a 1,000-calorie diet. We basically start people with a protein drink in the morning, and we increase a little bit more their exercise program. So that by starting their body on protein, usually it's enough to stabilize them. But those are kind of more individual pitfalls. The biggest pitfall is people who basically, you know, start making too many exceptions or start telling themselves, you know, confusing hunger and anxiety is a common one. Many people do not differentiate very carefully between hunger and anxiety. So as soon as they have a kind of weird sensation in their stomach, they immediately imagine that they're hungry, when in fact they're just anxious. So then we teach them how to manage their anxiety better, and it usually works very well. The way to manage anxiety is to start by breathing, then switch your focus, take a little bit of HCG at that time, and then focus on your next task. So it's like, what do I need to do next? Because as soon as you are engaged in another process, it will break the pattern. So why breathing? Because when we're anxious, we close our breathing. And when we close our breathing, we basically are in a state of lack and semi-panic, and so it becomes self-perpetrating. So by doing conscious breathing, you bring yourself back into balance. You know, if people who are, we have a whole thing on the, you know, how is it called? We have a whole section which is Living in Peaceful Harmony, March 23, 2011, where we talk about working with the energetic of the heart, you know, to bring ourselves back into balance. So there is a whole energetic of the heart which is right there. We also have it on MP3 on the website, you know, in much greater detail. But that's another way of doing it, is teaching how to go from reactivity to self-control, you know, by coming back into alignment with our own inner source. So that one is March 24, 2011. So, of course, there are issues of plateaus. So most people understand about plateaus, you know, and you have a whole thing on that, which is called on February 16, 2011, Managing Plateau and Maintaining Weight Loss. And basically, those usually we are talking there about the six apple or the steak day. Mm-hmm. And those work very well. But if people have longer plateau, then we usually work with them. And we might take some specific exercise or specific product to break the plateau. You know, so people who have those kind of repetitive plateaus, then it makes sense to look at it from a different point of view. Ultralin Thermo is really good. There are many other products that I can use, and we have talked about all the different products we can add to the to the weight loss. Where is that? I have a whole thing where I look specifically at all the different products that people can add. We did that very recently. So it's called a potential issue and how to deal with them. You know, so that one has many, many of the keys to dealing with specific products. And we've covered it in many others, but there are many different things that you can use to enhance the weight loss. One that we're working with more right now is one which is called RELORA. And RELORA is very much for people who do anxious eating. So RELORA is basically a stress relaxant. And it was designed as a stress relaxant, and then they discovered that there were people when they were on stress the stress relaxant actually started losing weight. So RELORA is available at any health food store, and it's a good product to add if you have a sense that, you know, you get nervous or anxious, and then when you get, you want to eat. Oftentimes, people do that at night. They're perfectly fine during the day while they are involved. And at night, you know, is when they feel anxious and they are used to snacking.
That's me. That's me.
That's a lot. a lot of single women.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they are alone at night, that's when their anxiety kicks in. So try the Raylora.
During the diet format too, the diet.
Oh,
phase?
Absolutely, you can.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not contraindicated at all.
Okay.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. If there is more of a depressive component, then the NADH or Inada is a very good product also. So especially if there is a little bit of trouble sleeping, aches and pain and things like that, then the NADH is a real good product to balance that out. You know, but we could talk about product a lot. I mean, I've covered most of them at one time or another, talking about how to deal with things. So those are the main issues during the program. Now, when we get to the stabilization, one big thing to do is that many people are committed to the weight loss, but they are not really committed to the stabilization. So they've committed to the weight loss, they lose the weight, and then they get back to eating as they were before, and invariably they regain the weight, with a few exceptions. Okay? So I know that in theory, you know, when you reset the hypothalamus, you know, and in fact it does work. You won't regain the weight at the same place, but it will start creeping back in because most of us have something that destabilizes our sugar metabolism, and that caused the problem in the first place. So for some of us, we are more sensitive to the sugar, and it's usually people who have a hypoglycemic tendency, and so they go back into hypoglycemic pattern of eating too much sugar. And the big thing that I tell to people, and that's what happened, in a way they don't do the stabilization, because if you do the stabilization, you don't have any sugar, and you don't really have any refined starch until you are finished, you know. So there shouldn't be really a problem with any of those things. But a lot of people, you know, most of us have the kind of on or off thing. So we're either on or we're off. And we're kind of challenged by having to make ongoing decisions. So when we have a clear track that we follow, we are better off. So in a way, what you do is that when you get on the stabilization, you say, okay, that's my new track. The first track was a track to the weight loss. Now I'm on the track of stabilization. But it takes a lot more awareness, okay? And the only pitfall in stabilization is for people who, for some reason, do not have problem with dairy or do not process fat very easily. So the people who basically, you know, we have talked about opiate sensitivity, and casein, which is a protein in dairy, is an opiate, and the people who are casein opiate sensitive, then what happened is that when they start reintroducing dairy in their diet, they usually start going off track. They do way too much of it. Okay? Most other people do not seem to have, as long as they do it, they do not seem to have any problem with phase one. Okay? Phase two is really like phase one, except that we add a few more fruit and we add a little bit of grain, you know. Prefer to keep away the gluten for the same reason, because the gluten is the other opiate sensitivity. And so if people are food opiate sensitive and gluten opiate sensitive, then they get off track. So again, I always tell people, before you go to the stabilization phase, make an appointment so that we can review everything. Because those, it's important to understand our addictive pattern and our trigger pattern. That's the main thing that you see. So during stabilization, there are some people, you know, because we are no longer really measuring the calories, you know, specifically in relationship to people's level of energy expenditure, there are people who start eating too much. You know, there is a very good rule for people who want to follow it. You know, there are large plate and small plate, okay? Whether you call them appetizer plate or dessert plate or whatever, okay? Mostly, what we need in one sitting fits on a small plate. If we have more than a small plate, unless it's a lot of salad, okay, it's probably going to be too much. So be aware the portion size play a very big role, okay? So that's one thing to look at when you're in stabilization. And we always tell people that at one time or another, you have to embrace exercise. If you are really going to stabilize your weight, at one time or another, you have to embrace exercise as a way of enhancing your health and maintaining your weight. If you don't do that, you may have challenges because it's one of the best way we burn calories, you know. And because we have become very sedentary, you know, and we travel by car and we do things like that, it's not like our ancestors who used to be amazingly involved physically, okay? We are not. So we do a lot of things. We do a lot of sitting. We do a lot of watching TV. We do a lot of being in cars, being in traffic. So we don't have the same level of physical kinesthetic activity. And so exercising becomes an absolute vital part of a health plan. So losing weight is very important. Our nutrition is very important. But exercising is a very big important of a health plan. And that's mostly what we find in stabilization, is really learning to use that stage as a training for ongoing maintenance. Because if you don't use those two stages of stabilization as an education, the probability is that when you go to maintenance, you are going to go back to your old habit. And if your old habit created weight gain, going back to the old habits is going to recreate the weight gain. Okay, there is a factor which is called aging, and another one which is called habits that are not congruent with the aging process. And when we get older, we don't necessarily absorb, transform, eliminate, and process calories as effectively as when we are younger. So we have to have much more awareness of what we eat, and we have to have exercise as an ongoing process. Plus, there is also a saying, when we get older, if you don't use it, you lose it. So if when you get older, you are not directly involved in physical activity, you will start, you know, having more problem with balance, with equilibrium, with stamina, with resistance, and it becomes self-perpetrating. Because if it becomes tiring to go upstairs, you will take an elevator, okay? If it becomes tiring to walk for a long time, well, you won't go for a hike. So it becomes self-perpetrating because you start excluding those things which are out of your comfort zone rather than progressively expanding your comfort zone to have the level of exercise that the body needs to be in optimal shape, okay? For most people, it's, they used to say that it was 30 minutes five times a day. They have, you know, raised it upward to 45 minutes. And I think for most people, the one thing which is important to know is that it's a curve. And so any exercise is better than no exercise, okay? So if you are not doing 45 minutes, but you are doing 20 minutes, it's already going to improve your health dramatically, okay? If you say, well, I don't try to do that, but, you know, I do two yoga classes a week of an hour and 15 minutes, that might already keep you in much better shape, you know. Or for you, it might not be, you know, it might be something completely different, African dance or whatever else, you know, belly dancing, whatever, what is, you know, Pilates, gyrotonics, whatever, meet your fancy, walking with weight on your ankle, you know, doing a walk every day. All those things will work. So there is no good or bad way of exercising. An ideal exercise program includes cardiovascular stretching and toning, you know. So that would be an ideal exercise program. So that's stabilization. Maintenance is a lifelong process. And so maintenance is really based on what works for you. Now, most of the food that we exclude in phase one and phase two should probably be excluded all the time, okay? So if you look at the things that we say, don't eat them in phase one and phase two, with maybe some exception for some people, you could as well say, and that's really where I need to be most of my time. And then anything beyond that, it's called, it needs to be exception rather than routine. So if you say, well, does that mean I should never have ice cream? No, it doesn't mean you should never have ice cream. It means if you start having an ice cream every dinner, every evening, it's not going to work, okay? Does it mean I never should have a vodka? No, it doesn't mean that. You can have vodka, okay? Just make sure that you have one vodka, you know, two or three times a week. If you have more than that, it might start disturbing your system. You get the idea is that the maintenance become very much a personal observation of what works and what doesn't work, you know. And sometimes people redo the training and say, oh my God, I failed. I say, no, you didn't. You basically conducted an experiment that didn't work. So now let's bring you back to a balanced place so that you can go and engage on the next experiment. So this time, start looking at what are the things that derailed you during your maintenance and start eliminating some of those, okay? But I don't see a person, you know, who has done the weight loss, did extremely well, you know, and regained a few pounds as a person who has failed at all. I said, well, part of your experiment didn't work as an ongoing process. Now, by the way, there are some people who prefer to give themselves more leeway and to do the program once or twice a year. I have about two or three of my clients like that. I have no problem with it. You know, they say, I would rather have the freedom, regain some of the weight, and then do a program. What I tell people like that, I said, don't let yourself go be above 10 pounds. Because up to 10 pounds, it's extremely easy to get back on track when you start regaining an important proportion of your weight, A, it's very disturbing to the basic self. It's very confusing. There is a sense that failure, you know, and then you have to go back through the process of motivation, saying, well, I don't really trust me. Why would I do it again? It didn't work, you know. Rather than saying, no, you know, there is a way to maintain it. People do not always have the discipline to do it and the willingness to really observe what works for them and what doesn't work for them. You know, we always said that there are three components in achievement in the world. Clear vision of the outcome, of the possibility. We call it the possibility because you could have an outcome, but if you don't see it as being possible, you won't be engaged in it. So a clear vision of the possibility. So it's like, see yourself at the weight you want to have, you know, with the freedom of movement, with the type of clothes you want, with how you want to be dressed. See clearly the vision of possibility. The second thing is the commitment. So when you're talking about weight loss, it's pretty easy. You're going towards a goal and you have a track. Okay? When you're going to weight maintenance, the commitment is a little bit more complex because you are making choices, you know, 10 times a day, which is that lining up with my purpose? Is that not lining up with my purpose? So some people, you know, have app on their phone where they measure all their food and their exercise program and they look at the calorie. And anybody who wants to do that is great, you know. I'm not a person like that, but I certainly respect some of my clients who are like that are fantastic at maintaining their weight. So there are ways of doing that, but there is a discipline involved, so you have a clear vision of the outcome, which is, this is the me I want to function in on an ongoing basis. Here is what I have to take on to do that, and here is what I have to give up. You know, and any time we're going to create change in our life, we will have to take on new behavior and give up certain behavior. Okay? So we have the outcome, we have the commitment, and then we have the self-confidence. So the self-confidence is based on our track record of keeping our word. So the more we say we'll do something and we don't do it, the lower is our self-confidence. So it's very important to basically look at that factor, and that's why I say, you know, if you tell yourself that you are going to allow yourself to fluctuate, okay, and that every 6 months you will do a new program. It's fine with me. It's not a stupid strategy, as long as you are clear that you are doing that and it is a choice. On the other hand, if you say, no, I'm going to do everything perfectly, I don't want to regain any weight, then you have to have the discipline that does that. And there are plenty of people who do, okay. The last thing to know is that when you go on the website, you will see that there is something that kind of tells you how much calorie to go for to stabilize your weight at the level it is at. Know that this is a kind of theoretical model, and there are some people, if they go to that calorie level, they gain weight. So, again, I have the wherewithal to say, well, you know, they say 1,500 calories, and I'm 5'2", and 1,500 calories does not work to stabilize my weight. What stabilizes it is 1,350 or 1,400, you know. So don't assume that because they have that kind of model, that model is actually accurate for you. You may have to be aware of what works for you. And it really varies from one person to another. And that's the main pitfall that we have in the stabilization is people not really taking the time to look at what works. You know, Faber's theory of insanity, doing the same thing, wanting a different outcome. Okay? And unfortunately, there are a lot of things attached to food. Okay? It's used as a drug. It's used as a social way of interacting. There are cultural habits which are associated with it. You know, so if I have that, then I should have this with it, you know. And so there are a lot of things that we are dealing with which are habitual response. And remember that habitual response are usually reactive. So they are not processed through our conscious mind. They are automatic. So those are some of the big things that people, you know, the kind of pitfall that people can look. And we have covered all of those, you know, in so many different ways. By the way, I found the one supplement that assists with weight loss and maintenance was March 14, 2012. And we didn't cover it last time. We covered it the time before. So you have all those things available. As I said, there are 40 different teleconferences. And as far as I know, Carol checked them all, and they all work. Plus, and we haven't didn't even look at that, but there is about 20 or 25 question and answers. So, that's the way it is. Did you have any question?
No, that was very helpful, Bertrand. Thank you.
So,
I'm just a technical question.
Sure.
What will I actually be doing to access the different sharings?
It's easy. If you go on your report,
okay,
you will get at the bottom of your report, you should have a URL.
Okay.
Do you know what a URL is?
Mm.
It's a web address.
Yes, okay.
So it is something which is kind of underlined. Okay? Do you want me to resend it to you?
Yeah, because I don't know right now about
I'm going to resend it to you.
Okay.
Right now, so that you have it. Let's see. I'm right on it right now. I'm going to copy it and send it to you. Okay, with a little note, and put it in an email for you.
Okay, and so then I'll use the web address, and when I get to the web address...
Well, when you get to the web address, mm-hmm. that is a restricted section of our website, and you will see there is a bunch of topics, and one of those topics is linked to teleconferences. So let's go to Joanne. Joanne Tomas. And it's a web link. And we put it right here. We paste. And it's right there. And now I'm sending it to you.
Thank
so you.
You
won't have to go and look in report.
Okay.
But put it in a place where you can easily find it or go to the website and flag it. You know how to flag?
No.
Okay. Well, you would have to ask somebody. I don't know.
I will have people.
I don't know what type of computer you have.
I will have people out here who can help me with
but
that.
But there are some. Do you have a Mac or do you have a...
I have a Mac.
You have a Mac. So, and do you go through Google?
Bertrand, I'm willing to ask the people here to...
Just ask somebody. You just say, you know,
yes,
I would like
I
to
will.
Flag this thing
yeah.
so that I can find it really easily whenever I want.
Okay.
And they will show you how to flag it, so that then all you have to do is go there, and you will find it.
Great. Okay.
Or you can save it, you know, as a special document. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that we did a little review. As I said, you know, we could have gone through all the topic, but I wanted to have a focus to do the review, which is pitfalls on how to deal with them. And I think that's what we'll call it. I asked Carol to call it pitfall on how to deal with them. Okay? But know that there is really not much. That's why I'm kind of stopping, because if I look at the topic, I've covered them about 4 or 5 different times under different titles. Okay, and I'm glad, because we always have new people, and it's nice for them to have access to at least one teleconference, you know. And if we get a lot of new people, I may very well decide on the spur of the moment to do another teleconference for them. But I think that what we'll do is much more of kind of a series of health lectures that will enable us to cover a whole lot of topics, you know, candida, parasites, you know, dealing with stress, dealing with aging, and so on, boosting immunity, adaptogen, and so on, so that we broaden the topic and we invite more people. Okay.
I think that's a great idea, Bertrand.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like that, it's better for me too, you know, because my time, if I spend 2 hours for 2 people, it's not a phenomenal return on my time investment. You know, it's also not opening up the dialogue to other people who are not in the weight loss. You know, why we can open it and advertise it on Facebook and wherever else and give more people an opportunity to access, to either go to the talk or access the talk afterwards. Okay?
Yeah.
Thank you for being online tonight. And I won't say till next week. I'll say till we set up our new program.
Excellent.
Which probably won't be every week. It will be either every month or every other week.
That's what makes sense. So greetings to Roberta.
Yes.
Thank
yes.
you. She has actually, you know, for the first time in 6 months, her cancer markers went down.
Oh,
so
Lord.
We don't really know what that means, but we're excited.
It's a good direction. Very good.
Yeah.
You know, because they have been creeping up, and no matter what we were doing, they were continuing to creep up. And then this time, it was very funny. Last blood work, most of our blood was better, but the cancer marker was up. And now the blood work is back down, but the cancer markers are down too. So, but we're still continuing a lot of program. You know, we're going to send a little update, because we haven't done that, to tell people what we're doing.
Oh, nice. Okay,
you know,
that'd be great.
So that people have a sense that mm-hmm. we didn't get lost somewhere. So that she's not dying in a corner, you know. Okay?
All right. You have
okay.
a good evening. Thank
yeah.
you, Bertrand.
Thanks.
Take care.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night.